Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Table of Hoop podcast. I would say this is the All-Star edition, but that is literally one of the worst All-Star weekends I have ever witnessed, so we won't connect to that. At all, Kings, what's going on, my guy? How you living?
Man, living smooth, man. It's a bad product in the NBA right now. Bad product.
Jordan Steele, the homie Jordan, the our degenerate connects, let you know how to win some money or how to lose some money, depending on how it's going. Perfect 5-0. Was it 5-0 last week, Jordan?
No, 3-0.
3-0. Yeah, 3-0 from last
3-0
week.
3-0 the week before, bro. We're on a 5-0 streak, baby. Yeah,
he's last the last five bets he announced on the show he hit. Special edition this week. We are joined by a friend of the pod. You've heard us reference some of the things he said on a few episodes. Paul, you know, on Twitter, as Paul Tweets Too Much, resident funny guy, hilarious account. Definitely suggest you follow. Paul, what's going on, my guy?
Man, it's an honor, man. I've been thinking about this moment for about 2 years now. It finally happened.
Thanks for having me. Oh, it's all good, bro. It's just honestly long overdue. Let's hop right into it, bro. What is your just reaction to the entirety of All-Star Weekend? Highs, lows, overall kind of direction?
Oh, it's over, bro. They're going to be playing kickball soon. Like, tell me you wouldn't rather watch them play rock, paper, scissors than whatever they was just doing.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I tweeted this. I said, bro, they literally let each other walk into threes and layups for 2.5 hours. I understand a part of it where, you know, defense is kind of laissez-faire, but there was not an inkling of competition whatsoever. That was a 2.5 hour layup line, man. I'm just a little kind of flabbergasted about how that – and just – I think me and Jordan are a little older. When do you guys feel that changes? Even in the 2010s, you know, they would at least spend a quarter and a half kind of competing.
It was never this.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Tonight was different. It was never this.
This might be the worst one we've ever seen.
Yeah, I was like, they always became a point in the game. Like, all right, guys, let's try to win. Let's try to put on the show. The you know, the cream of the crop superstars take over late, kind of separate themselves, and we get like a photo finish.
This wasn't as bad as the Brooklyn one, though. That was terrible. That was like they scored over 400 points in that game.
That was nasty. But what do you guys think kind of the issue is, starting with Paul? You can start us up. We'll go around the horn. Paul, what do you think kind of the issue is with the All-Star game right now?
I don't want to say it's an issue, but they just make too much money to care. Like, I want the players to get as much money as they can get, but they just – you saw what Shea was saying? Like, they need incentive. Like, you're making $35 million a year, and you need what incentive?
that's kind of it. Kings, what about you, bro?
It's literally what somebody was talking about in my timeline. It's too much money at this point. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want them to lose their money, but it's like, when the money is introduced, how else do you get them to, like, you know, want to sacrifice their body or sacrifice an injury? You know what I mean? It's like, they just don't care at all. And people are talking about, you know, tying incentives to the max deals or super max. I'm like, bro, no player is going to agree to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of them are going to agree to any of that. So it's really just difficult unless you add prize money. Like, that's just the only way I can see it.
Go ahead, Jordan.
I honestly, I don't know how to fix it. And the whole weekend itself just like lost its luster. And it started with the All-Star Saturday night. You know what I mean? Like, the skills competition was like a joke, dude. Like, what on?
Bro. You used to have the best point guards in that competition, bro. Like, that used to be an annual show off for all the best point guards.
Somebody posted a picture when, wasn't it? It was Kobe, Nash. It was like four of the top 10 players.
Yeah, remember, you used to have CP3 versus Darren Williams.
Like, right, yeah.
Bro, it's just the overall Saturday night, and like, not only that, but it's like your three of your best players weren't even in attendance. Not only were they not participating, they weren't even in attendance.
You know what? I just, not being funny, bro, I'm a Julius Randle fan, bro, but there's no way he should be in a three-point contest. People know I'm a Julius Randle defender to the end.
He did better than Kevin Huerter, dude. Kevin Huerter set white boys back 100 years.
Man. It's just a wild weekend, man. Like, I think, and that goes to another point, that the highlight of the actual basketball stuff was Mac McClung. Was it not? Everybody in agreement? That was, you know, he had two good dunks.
He's not even an NBA player.
I know. That was my point. Like, I think even KD said it. KD was like, we can't get superstars to do the events anymore. And he was talking about the dunk. I used to be, you know, star-studded. You know what I mean? And that's honestly changed. But those two dunks, the two dunks, the 540, and then the like the two-hand windmill, like that. Those were special dunks. It's just like it's Mac McClung doing them. So
yeah, those dunks are accessible to us. Like if you go on YouTube, like there's dunk contests. You can find them all across the world doing these crazy shit. But we don't want to watch a G Leaguer.
Right.
We want to see the stars do crazy dunks.
You know what's weird? So I'm watching, right? So, and they also said the G League showcase game had like a similar lack of intensity. And that was wild to me because to get seen. And like even that, they said that was lacking in intensity. And people weren't super into that. Like that is crazy to me because you don't even have the money yet.
This shows us a product-wide problem. It's a top-down problem at this point. Like it's not good.
Yeah, we discussed this before. Paul hopped on the call. Kind of want to get his thoughts on this. So to me, it seems pretty clear that the NBA is going to eventually steer from an all-star game to a U.S. versus the world or whatever. So instead of the conference going to be a foreign team and a U.S. team, there were eight foreigners, you said, Jordan, in the all-star game. I think it's teeing there. What do you think about that? I think, you know, Silver's goal is to globalize the game always.
I think it's going
to
be forced, though. I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
The top is there, but like they make these teams and Evan Fournier is on them. Isn't that what Luka put when he did his five, or was it Giannis? Somebody put Fournier on the team. Like eventually gets to there faster than people realize.
Hey, I mean, but you know, Wimby's coming over. There's another French kid. OKC has a who's the French rookie in OKC? I forgot his name. I like him a lot actually. It's not a good look for the brand. We just had Brad from Thunder Film on me. I like the French guy they drafted, but yeah, but
Josh Giddey.
What'd you say?
I also have Josh Giddey.
Right.
He's
Aussie. So I mean, it's a lot of good international players, but you know, I remember I used to talk with Banksy about this because I was just telling him, like, the NBA's goal is to be an international goal because they know they can't. They admitted to themselves a long time ago they can't compete with the Super Bowl or NFL for the domestic product. But they know they have a bunch of international fans on their social media. They could see that. So their goal is to try and monetize that into a viewership so they can make their product like soccer. But it's like it's just so hard because, you know, the NBA came up as an American product. And, you know, with inviting, you know, different cultures and entities that haven't historically been there, you got to deal with the cultural aspect. Well, you know, some Americans want to accept these, you know, other nations being part of the product. You know, can you relate to certain people? Do the people from other countries want to be involved, right, with the cultures and things like that? It's just a lot. But that's where they're trying to go with it. I don't know.
But part of that is a night like tonight, you put on a good show, right? Because you go back to 92, the Dream Team, when the game started getting globalized, like they were beating everybody by 80, but like they were putting on a show like every game. And there's a bunch of players now, and a few years ago it was like that's the moment where they decided to fall in love with basketball. You know what I mean?
They asked, it's like when Ernie asked Luca before the show, like, or whoever was on the broadcast, they asked Luca, oh, did you watch the All-Star game growing up? He said, no, I was too young. Like, this game is on when midnight when I'm sleeping, you know. So it's like I don't think that necessarily the All-Star game is the product that you want to be putting out to the world or that is necessarily going out to the world, but it is becoming a world product. And I agree with Kings in the fact that like they have no chance of dominating the NFL. Like the NFL dominates America. I don't think there's any chance that you surpass that.
You know,
they have to go to the world. And then we wake up this morning and it's like, no one's talking about the ratings of All-Star Saturday Night. The NBA is pushing this agenda where, 550 million social media views on Mac. You know what I mean? Like, they're already trying to circumvent the fact that their ratings are probably already down in domestically, right? So it's an interesting discourse that's going on by the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that's going to be the pivot. And, you know, also instead of, you know, I just want to say this as a personal probably going through this, instead of fixing the damn NBA app, you're putting the AI into it. Meanwhile, I can't even log on half the time. I just want to say that, you know, it's just ass backwards. Very frustrating. That app almost never works, bro.
I couldn't get captions removed one time. I Chromecast it to my TV, and I had to watch the whole game with captions over the score. So I was just keeping track.
Right. See, it's like that app is literally broken. But the big announcement was, hey, just take a picture and you'll be in the game. So it's like,
there you go.
Kind of strange, man. Hopefully it gets better, man. You would like to see the players with the pride of it all. So I remember, even after, you know, Kobe, LeBron, Michael Jordan, even Steph, you know, they signed these massive deals. You know, they've played the All-Star game hard. You know what I mean? So it's like there's certain some of it's going to be pride more than anything else. So
I do think the world thing could stir up some pride, though.
I know. I was about to say that if you made it an international versus the U.S., there's definitely going to be egos on the line in that game.
I was crying. You know, we was crying because, you know, what's the hilarious part? Luka and Joker, the two best international players, depending on Giannis to those probably three. But Luka and Joker were not interested at all in that game. It was kind of hilarious. They just literally did not care. It was so
It's funny. So, like, different than Jokic's game, though. Like,
yeah, it is.
There's no reason for him to play.
Yeah. He said as much. He was like, I don't know what he's like. Didn't care at all. He was picked second to last. Like, this is not my game at all. So
a lot of players fake not care. Jokic just straight up does not care.
Yeah.
They were trying to toss him alley-oops, bro. Like,
dude tried to throw him a lob off the glass, bro. Joker was like, what are you doing?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So big thing, Paul, had to ring you in. Big deal before the All-Star break. KD leaving your Nets. First of all, shout out to Paul. We're in the era of following players around. Paul is a homegrown, diehard Nets fan. Shout out to Paul. Last of a dying breed. Salute. Just whatever you can divulge, brother. Take us through the Kevin Durant saga from KD's end. His comments were, and Bansky said this too, when they didn't get a star back for Kyrie, he was essentially out of there. And there was obviously other stuff with the GM and coach that you have mentioned on the timeline at several different points throughout this whole thing. Just your reaction to the KD trade. Did you see it coming? We predicted it it would come in the offseason. We thought he would play this out and ask in the offseason, but no, it happened now. He specifically requested one team. There was no kind of, you know, haggling or comparing packages. He got what he wanted. So just kind of take us through that, bro. You got the floor.
First of all, man, it's kind of funny though. Like, it took for it to all fail for me to finally get on here though. Like, I just wanted the messy stuff.
No. You Kings will attest to this. Kings, before the season, who am I picking to come out the East, bro?
You take the Nets. You take
oh, no. I'm just talking about my appearance on here, though. Like, oh, okay, it ends, and then you're like, yeah, it's time, though. It's time.
But I picked the Nets, and honestly, I was looking good until KD got hurt. They were closing the gap on Boston. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, nah, I felt it, too, though. Like, I was surprised, though, because my understanding, like, everybody that told me is he couldn't get out. No matter what he wanted, he couldn't get out. So I was going to make him run the rest of the year. But it's exactly what Banksy said, though. We couldn't get a star back, so what do? Do we force a trade, gut all our assets, trade Nick Claxton to the Raptors and all our picks, and then we fail anyway, see it as a dead end, and now we're doing this anyway without assets now? Like, it caught me by surprise, though. This is all has to do with Kyrie, though, because nobody knew he was going to request that trade. We're balling. KD's back in a week, and then he does this, like, completely just – he did what Harden did, bro. You just cost us both the ring, like yourself and the Nets.
Right. Yeah. I was in. Like you said, you guys were. I was completely in. Like until KD got hurt, I was like, I'm going to stick with the Nets. It looked ugly going starting off. I was like, nah, I'm going to stick with him.
You I guys remember your worry was defense for so many years, and now we got a good defense. And then right. you
Claxton,
know,
like, Claxton, Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Exactly. So,
man. Be. But we should have blew this up from jump. Well, we didn't have to blow it up this summer. We like if you just listen to KD, fired Nash, fired Marks. You end up firing Nash anyway 7 days into the season. You're right. gonna fire Marks after the season unless you're so scared of the optics that you'll just run him one more year just so KD doesn't look like he was right. But I'm also relieved though. Like we didn't win shit, but the stress of like feeling like you're supposed to win a chip every year and then something bad happens. Like I just want it out.
Yeah, you just had an incredible string of bad luck, in my opinion, with the injuries, man.
Injuries, pandemic. There's just so much stuff. Like Kyrie watching the wrong YouTube videos, whatever. It's everything was bad.
I think the Nets are set up pretty well going into the future, though. I mean, Mikal Bridges is super nice. Cam Johnson, obviously. I think they're very versatile as a team as built, and obviously they got more assets going forward.
Yeah, so. They became a better version of the Raptors overnight.
Yep. Yeah. were the Raptors? Were the idea of the Raptors that could shoot?
Yeah, right.
So like this year for sure.
Yeah, piggybacking off what, you know, Jordan said, how happy are you with that haul, and what's the next step you want to see the Nets take? I know I saw you mention this time, it's kind of just let Cam Thomas go. He's so good offensively. You got to ride with the defensive mistakes and the growth on that end and some of the tough shots he might take.
So just I'm not upset with the haul at all. Like, people clown on the haul. Like, we've never seen a player like Kevin Durant get traded. Like, you're never going to get value at Kevin Durant's value. The real thing that I'm upset about is what Harden and Kyrie did to their values, because we could have got a crazy haul all around, but they did what they had to do. But I'm not upset about what we got right now. I don't want to go star hunting immediately because, you know, like we just got done with that. But we're set up where you put one star on our team and this is a really good team all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Your guy, Brandon Ingram, he could go play. That's perfect. But obviously this is a Luka Harden team. But I'm very happy. I just think that they got to let the Cams play. We got Cam Thomas who needs to grow. And then you got Cam Johnson who is a restricted free agent. You got to find out what he's worth.
Right. I saw you. I want to get your thoughts. I know you've kind of been up and down on Dinwiddie since his return. He's kind of a stopgap bridge guy. I don't think he's part of that team's long-term future, given what you guys are going. So what are your thoughts on him kind of, you know, is he going to help guys grow? Is he stunt guys grow? A little bit of both.
Yeah, that's Kirk Cousins right there. That's the guy that you don't want to keep going forward. I know Dinwiddie has off-the-court issues, like where he's just – you heard the stories where he was snaking D-Lo throughout the whole season to get Kyrie and all that stuff. Like, he's not your future. I hope he gets traded in the offseason. And I was a big Dinwiddie guy. Like, I think he's super underrated. He's 6'6", athletic, could shoot the three ball. Like, they were talking about Dinwiddie versus Chris Paul versus Van Vliet when we were at the trade deadline. I'm like, I think Dinwiddie's clearly the best player out of all of them. He's just annoying.
Yeah. I don't want to – yeah, man. And just real quick, I got – shout out to, we got a lot of listeners from Toronto, but boy, the way y'all gassed them players over the dough, man, there has to be addressed at some point, bro. Like, they were telling us how much Van Fleet, OG, and Siakam are worth. And my one rebuttal was, I was like, why are you 25 and 30? If you have these three guys, I was like, and nobody could answer that question. I was like, you guys love Nick Nurse, you love Masai, You got those
and Scotty, bro. And don't forget Scotty.
Love those three guys with Scotty Barnes. Why are you 25?
Everybody's good in Toronto, apparently. Everybody.
Yeah. Except for Gary Trent. They hate Gary Trent for some reason. I like Gary Trent.
Yeah. So that was a legitimately honest question. I was like, why are you 25 and 30 if you have all these players who are worth 2 first round picks at least and get a star haul? Why are you 25 and 30? And just the backlash from that innocent question, like, was crazy. But yeah, that's just a whole side issue.
Paul knows that fan base, Maples, that's a sensitive bunch, boy.
It was just crazy, man. I was like, it was arguing about the Pelicans. I was like, they should trade Trey Murphy and 4 picks for OG. And I was like, no, you shouldn't.
Trey Murphy might be better than him. That's been my take.
I mean,
Kings would do that trade.
What'd you say?
Only Kings would do that trade.
I don't even think Kings would do that trade because 4 picks. You hey, I was
love,
like,
love him so OG though.
What I said was, if you're gonna trade 4 picks, ask the Nets for Mikal, but the Nets want to keep Mikal. Mikal's a foundational player for them, so he was never being dangled or rerouted. He's something that they want to keep, which is.
I still don't believe that though. That they somebody offered 4 picks for him. I don't believe that at all.
That was Nets gas. There's no way.
Yeah, 100%. I love it though. Buy into Mikal. Go for it.
That's kind of too sweet to turn down, bro. I love Mikal.
I would love Mikal Bridges for Chris Middleton and whatever though.
That's a perfect segue, Paul. Seeing this now, the Nets are officially not a contender. Going back into kind of a rebuild, retool. I don't think I was talking. They won't be bad enough for their pick to really hurt them. Like it won't be a top 5 pick. I think
we'll never swap with Houston. I'll put that on everything.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I think they'll be a playoff team, even if it's like a 5-6. They have enough leeway with what KD did before the season. I think they'll be a playoff team this year. But looking at the East and the West, give me your 4 or 5 teams that are like kind of cream of the crop. Like I can see this team winning. What are your top 5 teams? And just give me the top of both conferences that you like.
East is sad, bro. It's just 2 teams. East is 2 teams. Like, without a doubt, like I'm sorry, the Cavs and the Sixers are not anything right now.
My guy.
So for me, I'm like, if Cleveland gets a wing next in the offseason, I will entertain them. That's the one. They just don't have a wing I can fully buy into.
I think they tried for Royce. I know they turned down Joe Harris, but it was for LeVert, so it would have been lateral to them.
Right.
But so they desperately need something. We just straight up, when we played them, we just did not guard Lamar Stevens or Evan Mobley. They got a Ben Simmons situation over there. Obviously not as bad, but offensively it's pretty bad.
Yeah, so what – okay, so I got to hear – I have my reasons. Why not Philly for you?
Why not Philly? Because they got another issue. Like they grabbed Jalen McDaniels, but that's supposed to be their only wing now and their only guy that could guard a wing. I just don't see that. No. And then of course you got Embiid and Harden who are not durable. Well, Harden's not durable anymore. Embiid's never been durable. It's just hard to buy in. Maxey's not really fit with his role. And then the more important thing, the Celtics and the Bucks are just a lot better.
Okay. Go ahead. Jordan, did you want to ask? I'm sorry. Did you want to say something? Go ahead. My fault, brother.
I was asking about he said something about the Cleveland, about someone that wasn't offensively
something. It's just a lack of shooting, though. Like, hey, you're playing double bigs, and then you don't have a sniper. They're playing Lamar Stevens, who nobody guards whatsoever. Like, I just feel like you only got to guard the point guards.
Yeah, Paul, you got to be careful. Jordan is a USC diehard, so that Mobley slander you got off.
Oh, man. Just a little bit. I like Cade a little bit more.
I think Mobley's, aside from USC bias, I think Mobley's a very special player, and I think that's a big reason why they were willing to let go of Kevin Love, you know, because they're willing
Love was also really bad for them this year. I don't know what happened. He just fell off a cliff. Like, I thought he found his role.
Yeah, he was pretty good last year, right?
Can't shoot anymore. What happened?
Yep. Yeah,
Miami's been a found of youth though, so I think he might actually click there after a couple weeks.
I just think in the playoffs though, they're just gonna go at Mitchell, they're gonna go at Garland. Then after that, you're gonna look for somebody else to score, and it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, Michael's
Kevin Love, 47th percentile on catch and shoot.
Yeah, that's tough.
Mid, but my thing with Mobley, he is special. But the problem, and I've been saying it, is like, bro, you have to commit to one. You have, like, you just, for the sake of the offensive flow and just, you know, you just have to commit to one of Mobley or Jared Allen. And then whoever you trade, you got to use that to get the wing back. because they have enough value between one of them that you'll get a quality wing back. So you just got one, bro.
I mean, the answer is Allen to me. I mean, Allen's obviously – Mobley's the guy with the most potential. Mobley probably gets you more
back. Allen also has the higher contract, so you get the bigger contract.
Say, who do you – like, at the end of the day, do you think Mobley can play the 82 games a year and into the postseason and a postseason run?
My thing is, he's going to have to, Jordan, unless he extends his perimeter game out.
But it's the same thing with your guys.
They both can't shoot. It's hard to play two bigs and they both can't shoot.
That's true. That's very true. So do you look for a situation where you go and get like a Brook Lopez to play next to Mobley?
My thing is that feasible? Like, it's like Milwaukee coming off Brook. Brook is like very, very, very like a glove like fit for what Milwaukee does. I don't think they're gonna come off him that easily, or he's not even leading.
I'm not saying Brook Lopez himself. I'm just saying like a guy like that.
But that's ideal, right?
I say, how many of those exist? I mean.
Yeah, we got guys coming into the NBA right now
are they gonna be ready though? I mean, Milwaukee got two ready bigs that are that shoot the three.
I'm not saying in comparison to Milwaukee, dude.
That's how they gotta do it.
But for where Cleveland is, the next step is like that guy has to be ready to play, is what he's saying.
He has to be ready, right? You know what I mean? Like it can't. Yeah, this can't be a Mo Bamba situation where you're
hoping. Mobley in college, his 1 year in college, he shot 38% from 3 points. So he has shown the ability to stretch the floor.
And that's 3 feet in, bro. I mean, or 2 feet in.
So. And it was on low volume, too.
Yeah,
it was low volume. But, I mean, he was able to do it. And I'm telling you, bro, his brother can shoot. You know what I mean? Like,
but where is it in the NBA, bro? The Cavs need it, like, right now.
That's but they're a team for next year, though. So I'm not going to stay on them for that, though. Like, next year, they got to get their wing.
If they get a wing, they bump right there.
I was going to say, do you think it's more of a fact that, like, Cleveland doesn't want him doing that more than like he.
Nah, if he can shoot, they want him to. Because they need it. They need.
I watched Jared Allen attempt that corner three ball. That's hideous. So I think they want it.
Yeah. What about West, Paul? Who's your tier one out West?
West. All right. It's gonna sound a little biased, but I think the Suns are in a tier of their own.
I gotta see it. You know what? I gotta see it first.
My guy's on me. He's with me, bro.
And I don't know. It's definitely different though. I was never a KD guy. I was always a Braun guy or Chris Paul, weirdly enough. I fell off of that. But when KD plays for your favorite team, he just looks like he's better than everybody else. Like, I'm sure you Bucks fans feel that about Giannis, but in the West, I just don't think there's anybody that's close to KD.
I don't think there's anybody better than Giannis in the whole world. But...
So I got.
Yeah,
I gotta
you ask, feel that. I get I, that.
I got to ask you this, Paul. So I've been in arguments at odds with a lot of fan base this year, more so with Lightyear's Twitter, because I think the Warriors are teetering towards cooked. How do you feel about people? Because a lot of Warriors fans just get in and we'll repeat the magic from last year. And I'm like,
I get it. No, I 100% get it. But they accidentally won a championship last year. They didn't try to win a championship. Like, their fans didn't expect it. Their GM didn't expect it. Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, they did not expect that shit. So you got to trust it. It is. I see it a lot on people's usernames. It's the Warriors Invitational until somebody beats them.
Yeah, so here's my thing with that is, so everybody was rubbing in their face, the two timeline thing worked. I'm like, no, it didn't. You got
it was on accident, man.
Zero contribution to any of those young guys. And you had to let go of Otto Porter. You had to let go of GP2. Mm-hmm. Those were like super essential.
I one young guy to bring back, mind
you had to give up.
Yeah,
that is to me like I said this: the Warriors organization, top tier, 99th percentile, but giving up the number two pick for what you could have got for him at the time, for Gary Payton 2-3 years into his deal. That is some Lakers, Rob Pelinka, Knicks level.
I don't care, man. I don't care how big of a bust he is. You cannot trade him for the ninth man that you let walk.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, bro, that is some crazy, just Rob Pelinka level asset manager. Like, I don't care how you want to shape it. Well, you just can't hold on to him. Like, bro, I don't care what you say. That's terrible, especially when you think about what else is in that draft. It's not even just LaMelo. It's Halliburton, Franz Wagner, a whole bunch of players who are just like literally your third or fourth best player right now if you just make the right pick. And like you said, for a ninth man, that is some Ted Eble asset manager. I just got to put that out there, even though I have the utmost respect for the Warriors organization.
It's crazy because people like you say what Paul just said, and Paul's absolutely 100% correct. I 100% agree with him that they didn't expect to win a championship and they just happened to walk into it. That's not saying anything negative against what the Warriors did, but you know, people look at that and they're like, well, you're saying that we got lucky. No one's saying you got lucky. It's just you weren't expecting to win a championship and you had a favorable matchups going all the way around, right?
I did not expect Memphis to be the dumbest team in the playoffs, also, because that was my pick. That came out of left field, bro. I've never seen Memphis. They showed no inklings of being an idiotic team outside of Dylan Brooks believing he was Kobe, but that whole team was idiotic the whole playoffs.
Said Dylan Brooks thinking he's Kobe.
I thought the West was decided, though. Once the Warriors walked in, that West looked so weak.
Man, it's just
I had the Warriors too from midway through.
He did, you did. Kings did. I thought Memphis could do it, but I did not see inklings of that team being that stupid, bro.
I had the East decided too, though. But the hater in me picked the Bucks to beat the Celtics. Like the Celtics fans are so annoying. I was rooting for Giannis. Like that's how bad it was.
That would have been successful if not for the injury. So don't feel too bad.
If the Celtics had a point guard, they would have beat the Warriors too.
I just think
Tatum had to be a big boy at some point. Like, you can't let Wiggins take you out of a series like that. And I like Wiggins. Shout out Kings. That's your guy. The agenda hit finally, but Tatum can't let that happen.
You know, Tatum got his own shoe now, so
we'll see how that ends up. All right, Paul, sliding down the West again. Your thoughts on the Lakers situation? You like the moves? Is it too late to make up all that ground? They got six teams to pass before they get
to the that's the only team. Issue. It's like all the moves were complete home runs. The Wolves got robbed for no reason. I still don't understand that trade.
I said that too. I don't know why they did.
He took on that contract and he'd be like, oh, we needed a point guard. Mike Conley sucks. I'm sorry. But they made all the good moves. They're just too far behind.
Yeah, so I mean,
you're counting on Braun and AD to stay healthy for all this run, and then like they're gonna be playing heavy minutes every night. They're gonna be dead by the play, and they're gonna be dead by the first series. Like, there's no way that they actually make a run. I learned as a Nets fan, when things go this horribly for you, it doesn't matter how good your players are. Like, you can't make up all that ground.
I think the funniest thing you said about the Laker players, you were like, everybody was gassing Mamba. You were like, well, he asked, but it's playable ass. So
yeah. I wanted to trade Seth Curry for him. Like, I wanted to just do something like that. I get it. He could play in your rotation, but people were putting him in the starting lineup. There was only two starting lineups that make sense. One that Ham finally figured out, and I would have understood if they swapped Beasley for Reeves, but I wanted Beasley starting.
Yeah, King said that. I wanted Reeves starting because Reeves, he just really looks excellent playing next to LeBron. He's probably like the two-man stuff. He's LeBron, like outside of LeBron, AD, obviously. It's Reeves, LeBron, as far like the best pairing. They play so well together. But I understand, like, just a sniper like that next to LeBron in 20 years, it's never not worked. So I understand that 100%. But as long as they both play, I'm completely fine, you know, and just, you know, get Troy Brown out of my life. And
I would have the Lakers in my second tier. I guess they're technically my second tier of team, but, like, I just doubt their ability to make that run.
Yeah, but, Pelinka, his word salad stuff, it's just covering his ass. He gave the whole, well, this was also a pre-agency, so we have a team for next year, which is what I've been saying. Finally, I was like, I think me and Kings both made this complaint. You can't flip the roster every year.
Like, Bron taught us that, man.
It's 8-9 guys every year that's new to the team, and they wonder why every year it's been a struggle out the gate. It's outside of the first LeBron AD year. Every year they've stumbled out the gate.
I mean, all the LeBron teams that flip, those are the teams that are usually the least competitive. Because if you see the roster, they're usually the rosters that are carry over from the previous with small vet man additions here and there. But anytime he has to flip, anytime a roster gets flipped, like, yeah, he can maybe make the finals, as you see, but it's usually teams that, you know, aren't good enough to win it all. It's just miraculous play and they get there, you know.
So I'm interested to see, man, because I was not a D'Lo fan from the rip his first in LA. But I think he's finally slotted in his correct role. A third guy off a megastar, a secondary creator who has good vision. And I think it works, even though I'm not a D'Lo fan in a vacuum, but I think this is as good as it gets role-wise for him. How did you feel about D'Lo, Ball?
Like you said, he's good in his role, but he's done irreparable damage to my fan base and this, all that stuff. Like, I will never be a D'Lo fan. I don't think he's a good player. Like, I think this is the ideal role for him. I think people will fall in love with when he's on fire. And then there's going to be like 2 week stretches where he's not on fire and he's taking shots that you're like, you're smothered and you have LeBron James. Why are you taking these shots? And he doesn't play defense, even though he's 6'5" and really long, and it makes no sense. And I will never be a D'Lo fan. I fought really hard against Dinwiddie versus D'Lo, LeVert versus D'Lo. I just don't see it with him, and I'll probably never see it with him. And if the whole idea that this is pre-agency is good for you guys to be like a competitive team, but what's, are you really happy about your future when it's, all right, LeBron's 39 years old. Now it's D'Lo is making however much money you guys going to have to pay him now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think D'Lo's up and then Mo Bamba's up, right, as well?
Yeah, Mo Bamba's probably walking.
No, Mo's under a non-guaranteed deal.
He's got 2 years. It's going to be like $10 million or whatever.
I can eat that number, especially if he's going to be starting.
But everything you just said about D'Lo is exactly why I don't care that the Wolves traded him. I don't.
Yeah, but that's an expiring contract, though. And you guys took Mike Conley on for that. That makes no sense.
But you have to understand, Mike Conley's deal is partially guaranteed next year. So it's not even
like... He's going to be on the books, though. You're not going to let him walk.
Yeah, we're not going to let him walk because we need him. We need him.
Yeah.
You
could have needed that money. That $30 million is about to come out free.
Who the hell we would have signed? It's Minnesota. Who are we signing?
You could do something better than Mike Conley, I promise you.
Bro, who are we signing? Like, let's be honest here. Like, Minnesota's not getting anybody. This is what we have to do. We have to make the Rudy trade work. We have no choice. Like, it's no.
You know how you're going to make the Rudy trade work? You're going to trade Cat, and you're going to be upset about it initially. You're going to be like, yeah, I got Cat off my team, and I got all these picks and all these, like, little players.
So I got, all right, so. Last team in the West, I got to ask. So, to me, we'll get into this in the round. Everybody can say their give their shoot. To me, one of the most interesting things in the second half of the season is if we're going to see Zion on the floor for more than 10 games. Because I thought when he was healthy, the Pelicans were literally the number one seed when Denver got hot. So, obviously, the health is a thing. But what, like – your thoughts just on the Pelicans, where they are right now with their team players essentially not being able to stay on the floor ever.
It's the most torturous situation, though. Like, the Nets were a myth. The Clippers were a myth. The Pelicans are something else. Like, this is something that we've never seen before. Zion and B.I. just straight up do not play with each other anymore. And I feel bad because this Zion stuff just feels like it's going to keep on happening. Like, I have a Pelicans guy that told me about the setback with his foot and stuff. And I was just like, this can't – I'm waiting for he's announced out for the season thing again. That's pretty much where I'm at with him now. I'm assuming that he's not playing anymore. That was my favorite player. That was my favorite player in the West. This is the team that I was geared up to watch, my league pass team, all this stuff. But I've never seen anything like this, and I just can never, like, think that they'll be a good team. They'll never have a good season. They have a great roster. They'll just never have a great season.
Hey, I can tell you, on 2K, it works.
Yeah.
You got a whole bunch.
It makes perfect sense, though. Like Ingram could play with anybody. It's like, you know, KD's portability because he's so much better. Brandon Ingram, for the same reasons, is just as portable as KD. He could play with literally anybody, and we'll just never get to see it.
104 years together, 93 games, both under 25 years old. Just kind of absurd, the lack of just their ability. So the next step, obviously, is you're obviously not going to trade Zion because he sells tickets more than anything else. So that's just a small market, so it won't be him. If it comes to that, do you want the Nets to go fishing?
Oh, I wanted either one of them, but from what I heard is that you guys were not trading – well, not you guys, but they were not trading Ingram at all, no matter what. I'd kill for Zion. I wanted to trade KD for Zion straight up. I'd tell them that to his face. But from what I understood is that since Ingram is like the only athlete to ever embrace the Pelicans, that they will die for this guy.
Yeah, that's the same vibe they tell me too. I think
of course, the welcome is to be worn out eventually, though, because he's not fat like Zion. Like, there's no reason for him to be missing all these games with a toe or whatever. Like, this guy's in shape. I don't understand it.
So I'll tell you, it's they're two different extremes, and it leads to them missing so many games. So when Zion misses games, he presses to get back and jacks himself up even more and extends the injury. Ingram gets hurt. He's cleared by team doctor, his doctor, and then he's like, nah, I don't feel right.
Yeah, and he heard that too.
So, like, they're, and he, like, he was like cleared from that toe 2 weeks before he stepped on the floor.
Ingram?
Yeah.
I heard that too. Like, that they're fed up with him.
Yeah, they're like, him and Zion are complete. Zion's like, I need to get back on the floor. And then he pushes the hamstring too hard, pushed the foot too hard with the extra, try to do the extra blood replacement or whatever, messes himself up even more, trying to push the play. Ingram was like, I'm not stepping a foot on that floor until I feel 100%. And I think if you listen, watch Ingram's interviews, it was from the shoulder situation he had, the Chris Bosh, like, not extremist Chris Bosh, but similar. Yeah, his like the his in his mind is like, if his body's not feeling right, he's not playing, because he just like that situation's still with him. And I get it to an extent, but like on the other hand, it's like, it's not your heart, bro. It's a toe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you have a bunch of Laker fans kind of sad that, you know, AD's there instead of Ingram. But I mean, they both had the same problem this day to day with both of them. You know,
I can't even get my agenda off no more. I'm like, damn, if Ingram would have stayed, LeBron would have been mad at him for missing every other game.
Craziest thing ever, though. Like, a team won a championship because of a trade, and this trade is still criticized.
I haven't criticized since they won, just for the record. So there are a lot of people who do that. But once they won, I was like, all right.
There's a lot of people that do still criticize it, though.
Yeah.
You're right.
Baby Lakers, man.
I mean, you know, in 2K, you just do that start from the summer feature and then never make the trade, and you can see how it works out.
Go trade for Julius Randle on 2K. See how it plays out for you guys.
Hey, man, he's going all NBA again. I won. You can say all what you want. He's going all NBA again just because he doesn't miss games.
Yeah, it's gonna God be bless. When that all NBA Julius Randle's in the playing game and they fucking don't even make the playoffs.
Hey, listen, as long as he makes all NBA, the agenda is set. I'm good. You can't say he's a 2-time all NBA player.
They're trying to hawk us down for the 5 seed right now. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I think with Tibbs, any Tibbs team is gonna prepare for every game like Game 7. So they'll be maxed out in the regular season, and in the playoffs, when the other team hits another level, they'll have nothing. And that's essentially the Tibbs experience.
Yeah.
He never usually has good enough teams. So honestly, like, I can't knock him because he never really has good enough teams to actually win a chip.
Yeah, he maximizes his guys for sure.
I'm saying, but he maximizes them so much, they don't have another level. Like, what you see from a Tibbs team, it. Because he prepares for every game.
It's the game in the regular season, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
the thing about Tibbs, though, I would never want him coaching my favorite player. Because like, he's going to be like done years before. Like, he has left a trail of just jacked up players in his wake because he is an old mid-90s NBA coach. I'm going to play my best player 40 minutes for 80 games.
How long until we start calling Nurse that?
The Nurse is on his way.
Yeah, he's definitely on his way.
Nurse is on his way. Like, Jordan brought it to our attention. We started like, Van Fleet is cooked, bro.
I've been saying that. I don't know why people are asking to trade him, bro. He's not good anymore. He's just not.
He could explode for 40, though, because he could shoot sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And then the next 9 games, he's going to shoot 27%. And he's shoot like he's still hot. So,
There's one team, though, I wanted to ask. I only said the Suns are my first tier, so we skipped the West, but the Mavericks.
We discussed them. People got mad. I said when they made the trade, like I said, Kyrie and Luka are going to move the needle. It's just going to be a whole bunch of 135 to 127.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's been.
I like them in a series. Like, I like them in a series versus everybody except for the Suns, but I do know that roster is ass.
I'll say this, Paul. If they do, they have to get the series over quick. Because those 6-7 games, I think that's when they start to lose it, because if Christian Wood is your backline defender over the
court. Yeah, it's going to be ugly, but – well, I guess I like them how they match up against the Nuggets. And I think that Luka and Kyrie are just going to be able to beat the Grizzlies.
Yeah, but can they get to the Nuggets? That's a problem.
Yeah. Like, so,
right now their first matchup is the Kings, so that's a good start.
That is.
You know what? I think Jordan and King sold it. I semi-bought King stock. They're a legitimately good team.
Yeah, but I just don't think they could beat the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, the Suns, the Mavericks. I think if the Mavericks don't have to play the Suns in round 1, I like them.
So my thing is, I'm a huge De'Aaron Fox fan. I thought he's been one of the most underrated players in basketball.
Great performance tonight.
So it's just, yeah. So I believe in the Suns. Last thing before we get out of here, before you guys, you know, Paul is white, so it's 2-2 tonight. This MVP thing. So here's where I stand with it. Here's where I stand with it. People are absolutely right where Joker is getting a pass, where a past MVP's habit is the voter fatigue is not a thing for him for some reason. Everybody else got it. For him, it's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
My response to that, my question to that is, even if we acknowledge that as NBA fans, is it right for us to say they need to keep doing voter fatigue even though it's complete BS? We know it's BS. It's a bad way to look at it instead of looking at every season separately. We know it's a bad rule, but some reason Giannis got it, Harden got it, Steph got it, LeBron definitely got it with only four, which is ridiculous.
Hold on. What's crazy is Harden didn't even get the award and he got voter fatigue. Well, he got one, but he got voter fatigue because he was always like one or two.
So we have to keep it. We know it's terrible. We know it's not fair. Do we keep pushing the voter fatigue thing even though we know it's wrong? Or do we just like, you know what, even though we see the inherent bias with this guy for whatever reason, people have their, what they feel are their reasons why. But as basketball fans, what do you think the correct response to that is?
I have a weird take though, that voter fatigue doesn't exist really though. Like I never thought it was there. I thought it was there for Harden a little bit because people just got tired of his whole shtick, you know, just the way that he played basketball. People did not care for that. Right. I think LeBron didn't get clipped for voter fatigue. He got clipped for going to Miami and they made a big deal out of that. Giannis was my MVP, and I will say it might have looked like voter fatigue. I'm talking about the first Jokic one, but then he got hurt and he missed all that time. So we didn't get to see voter fatigue take place there. So okay. I just don't think I've seen voter fatigue. Jokic is still not my MVP. My issue with the Jokic MVP case is he's had three different angles to the MVP award in these last three seasons. So the criteria is shifting to whatever Jokic is outperforming. He's going to always have an MVP case. He's an all-time great. He's a generational player. But it's whatever one fits him. It's like he's getting 24 points a game. It's like, that's cool. But we're in an era where people are like, everybody's getting 30. Like, I got to respect what Bede and Giannis are doing a little bit more. And then defensively, we don't even talk about that anymore. It just seems like, all right, Jokic got first seed now. He gets the MVP. Well, he was the MVP when he was sixth seed to people. Like, so now it's just shifting.
Yeah, and I said that I think the biggest card that people are going to be able to play who are super pro Joker MVP is that Buddy is a tank. He never misses games. Like,
he don't jump. Yeah, we get it. So he doesn't jump. He'll never get hurt. He does not jump.
So the minute Embiid has his 10-game absence, like that's
it, why, right? Embiid's not in it for me. I think Giannis is my MVP. He's okay. 32 a game. He's 12 boards a game, like 6 assists a game. I think that he might be slightly overrated as a defender compared to the casuals, but he is miles better than Jokic as a defender.
You know, the funny thing is, Giannis's case is like Joker's last year with the guys missing games, except they're still a top 2 seed.
Yeah.
They didn't fall to 6.
But somehow, we thought Chris was like a shell of himself for most of these games. Drew finally turned it on. I don't know how he snuck into the All-Star game. Congrats to him. It hurt Giannis's MVP case.
My thing with the voter fatigue, I don't even blame Giannis's case on voter fatigue, honestly. Giannis, the thing was, and like people have pointed out, the MVP has always subconsciously taken into account winning in the playoffs. Whether that's right or not, that's always been a thing. Like, you go back to when Giannis got swept and you go to the MVP vote next year. It wasn't he won two MVPs. It's that, oh, he won two MVPs and he got swept by Miami. He's not deserving. What's his name? Lowe said it. I think it was Tim McMahon said it in the media. And my issue is, okay, I understand that, right? Like, you had that, but somehow Jokic, yes, he had injuries, but somehow he gets to skirt that. And then another thing is that I don't even think you need the vote fatigue to not vote for Jokic. I believe Giannis is better. Like, he has a better case because he plays better defensively. He's putting up 30 and 12, and that he has his team in high seeding. He's almost tied for the best NBA record, missing his second best player most of the year. But the thing is, people point to these catch-all NBA analytics, and it's like, bro, these analytics are all geared towards offense. We know the equation. Yeah. We had Joseph on there. Rebounds, assists. If you rack that up with high efficiency, you're dominating all those numbers. Like, regardless of whether it shows up in terms of winning and actually contributing to winning a championship, because we know when you win a championship, you have to defend. It's like, regardless of whether that matters or not, if you do all those things, you're going to dominate every analytics. But does that mean that you are the MVP? Like, what goes into constructing these analytics? Just because they're that way right now, does that mean that that is the MVP? Is that how we should be looking right. at it? At what point do we say, man, this guy's defending? We know if you defend at a high level, you're going to be on a championship team. You're going to take your team farther in the playoffs. At what point do we say defense should be a staple in these awards? Like, it's ridiculous. It's like the MVP for the NFL. It might as well just be a QB award. So it's like, the offense award now.
Then they get mad when I be like, see, I be listening. I don't completely ignore a ball. Don't stop. And they be getting mad because what you just said. You can't let the nerds win, bro.
Although Scott also thinks Giannis is a runner and jumper, so
I just say listen to everything. I just said, you know, he can't be ignored. But go ahead, Jordan. You a Bucks fan, so
yeah.
You're in. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm also an analytics guy. You know what right. I mean? Like, I'm in between both, and like, I understand like the analytics and the efficiency point of view from Jokic, but I also, you know, Kings has said it multiple times, like. They add in what they've done in the postseason, right? And what happens in the postseason this year if Jokic gets eliminated in the second round, right? And he wins three MVPs, you know? Then he's on his plateau where with Larry Bird and Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell, where it's like he's this generational type player that's never – won anything, you know what
well,
I mean?
it's just Larry Bird. Nobody's won three in a row except Larry Bird. So it's just not. If he wins this year, he is in. It's like it's.
I thought Bill Russell
won. Oh yeah, Bill Russell. I'm sorry, Bill Russell did.
Yeah, Bill Russell's in the 60s, but it's like old, you know.
Yeah, you're right. My fault. That's my fault.
And people don't want to attribute this to race. And like I, as a white guy, am sitting here telling you that there is definitely race attributed to this.
It's obvious.
It's in every battle. You can tell by the way these people talk about AAU, bro. That it's the dog whistle. Like, so you're right. The racial dog whistles in basketball is in every conversation. You're 100% right. Keep going.
And like, dude, we just came off an All-Star weekend where Mac McClung just saved the dunk contest, dude. Like, nobody watched the dunk contest between LaVine and Aaron Gordon. It's incredible to me, bro. And it's disgusting, first of all, because I do think that there's an agenda between these reporters. And Kings brought up Zach Lowe, who I think is the best. He's pushing this narrative of Jokic, like, oh, he's the first guy to be this efficient at scoring. He's like 97% efficient field goal percentage and blah blah blah. Dude, at the end of the day, Giannis is sitting here 30 points per game, 12 rebounds per game. Chris Middleton has missed 80% of the games. Bucks are the second seed in the East, and we're just sitting here like, Giannis, he
like it's dead and over.
Yeah, like. Right. He don't deserve it. Jokic minus 225 to win the MVP. I mean, it's over. Like, there's nothing anybody could do. Jokic is winning the MVP. It's disgusting, bro. It's honestly sad. And as a basketball fan, it's disheartening to the game, which I honestly think the NBA put out a dog shit product this weekend, which is dog shit to the game of basketball. And this just further.
But why should defense be valued? You don't even value it for your MVP award.
Bingo.
Like why should it matter?
We don't value it for anything. You know, we don't value defense at all. We don't. It's nothing today. You know, we don't. The All-Star game, go out there, shoot fucking half-court shots, fucking throw up three-quarter court shots, dunks, whatever.
Timber hoopers for the kids. Remember that? Timber hoopers for the kids.
Oh, sorry. But, I mean, dude, it's disgusting, bro. Like, this is the game of basketball. We're supposed to be expanding this worldwide, and, like, we don't even actually attribute the game of basketball to the best player in the game of basketball. And that doesn't even mean that Giannis is deserving or not. I'm just saying that, like, we've already closed the door. Jokic, three-time MVP, it's happening. Because he's so efficient offensively and he's the number one seed. And
Well, I only said the door closed because they did the straw poll amongst the voters, and their minds are completely made up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's minus 225 betting favorite right now, Jason. I'm not saying because you said it. I'm just saying, like, I picked
him to win it like 2 weeks ago because I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah,
I knew this was going to happen. And the thing is, when I said Giannis is my MVP, it's like people are like, so you don't think Jokic is deserving, or you're not going to give it to Jokic? I'm like, bro, I picked him to win it 3 weeks ago for this reason, and because I knew he was deserving, because I knew how they were going to gear it based off the analytics, based off the criteria, and based off the racial factor. I knew this was going to happen. Like,
that's
I knew
a big
this
thing, though, Kings, is it is a racial factor, and like, we can't sit here and deny it, dude.
No, I'm not denying it at all. I just said that we see it. We understand that, you know, the same voter fatigue. You brought up the previous playoff runs. You know, that hasn't been applied as a disqualifier to his resume other guys. And I said, well, we understand.
They shut down Michael Jordan for a rapist.
Can we also talk about in the racial aspect, though? Like, some of my music brought up a good point. Who makes these analytics?
White people.
That's the dangerous thing, though, is because people just trust this one number that decides what it is. And there's a person that tweaks what's more important. Like, they literally get to choose, and people just ride with this one number.
What I would suggest is
the equation, bro. They don't even know.
What I would suggest is, I think me and Kings talked to Joseph Gill, Merck Analytics. He does everything by PPP, which is points per possession. And I think that's that will give you your true mark of efficiency amongst a player over some equation that, like King says, heavily weighs, you know, rebounding in terms of weighing a defender.
Has nothing to do with defense.
Right. You know what I mean? That's finishing a possession, right? It's not, you know, affecting the miss of a possession. So,
bro, Kevin Love is 82nd percentile in points per possession this year. Is he 82nd percentile in NBA players this year?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's on points per possession, too. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I think I think he'll work in Miami.
That's my point, too, that I also brought up. Like, I don't know why people are using catch-all. Did we not establish, like, 3 years ago that catch-alls were not good overall indicators? Like, was that not established that catch-alls have too many variables that they don't take into account for you to use as defining factors? So why are catch-alls and advanced one-for-all metrics being used now? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. You have to use multiple measurements along with the film to get the whole picture. And when you do that, that's when I say Giannis is the MVP if you're looking at the whole picture. But if you're going to say analytics weighs the most and it's some white dudes who made it with the equations that most people don't know, well, of course, if you're going to use that as your main criteria and Jokic is dominating that, well, yeah, the white guy who's dominating white analytics is going to be the MVP. What can you say?
Listen, the ball don't stop, bruh. Change the Twitter app. I'm messing with you, bro. But no, I'm not. These are all – oh, like I said, I didn't deny anything what you guys said. I just said that we see the BS as basketball fans. Like, do we still apply those nonsense disqualifiers to an award that's supposed to be for a snapshot of this season? But you guys all made very great and fair points.
It's just the goalposts keep moving, Jason. Right. Like, it depends on who's up for the award. And it's like, okay, Giannis was up for a third time MVP. Oh, the goalpost move. Well, he didn't perform in the previous.
Right. Yeah, that's what I said. Like, and I said,
Jokic and Giannis flipped numbers, flipped everything, they'd be like, yeah, Jokic is the MVP because and then they'll just state the case.
They're the second seed. Right.
Defense mattered. Right. So, defense mattered. Yeah. All right. But my thing is, though, I came in, I love the analytics. When I started tweeting about hoops, a lot of those analytics guys who I used to follow that end up getting hired, I started using and applying it. It did help me grow my appreciation for game and measuring guys' impact, especially because, being a Bron guy, seeing how dominant he was, I was able to attach the stats to the film. I was like, man, this is really measuring how impactful he is. But along the way with these analytics, it really just got geared so heavily to playmaking, efficiency, and rebounding to the point where it's like, yeah, Bron was great at those things, but he was an all-world defender and even a plus defender. On his worst days, he could be a plus defender. Like, there was no way that Bron was doing all those things and not being able to defend. It's like guys who can't defend at all. but who are so good at these factors that that automatically just doesn't even matter. I'm like, bro, you can't do that. That's not how you play hoop. Because when you get to the playoffs, when it's a half court game, when it slows down, it's physical. Now all those things you didn't measure, now they matter. And
you sound like me talking about. You sound like me talking about mid range jumpers.
It's the goal not winning the championship though.
Like, yeah, no, that's the goal. And Jokic gets played off the floor in half court basketball.
Well, I wouldn't say play off the floor, but they do attack him. I'll say this:
offense defense come late in the games with him.
I'll say this: this is as good as the shout to the Denver GM because this is as good as you can do. They got three playoff tested
Sun series, man.
They got three playoff tested defenders around him in Jamal. I think Malone does the right thing. Malone pulls Porter late, which he should defensively, because it's just hard to close with him. So if it doesn't happen this year for Denver, this is the closest they get. You got AG, switchable. KCP is going to chase guys around a million screens and not get tired like he did with the Lakers. Bruce Brown can defend. So,
I got the Nuggets plus 1600 to win the title. All right, I want them to win. They're plus 750 right now. I got a good number on them. Like, I'm sitting here unbiasedly telling people that I don't believe in the Nuggets, right? Because of Jokic. And Jason, we've been adamant talking about this. Like, can Jokic go to the next level? And you've been very real about it, that this may be the best opportunity that he actually has.
Yeah, I believe in the Nuggets. I think they get to it. They got to get to a conference finals, in my opinion,
Maple, stop. He needs to go to an NBA
finals. I'm talking about
MVPs in a row. You need to go to an NBA finals.
I'm talking about for my assessment. I got to really consider, like, then can we ever win like this?
I think Kings is right. Like, if he don't make a finals this year, Jason, you really saying, like,
I'll give you my picks when the playoffs start. I'll let you know.
If you don't make the finals this year, what else does he need?
If Zion come back healthy, I'm pushing the Pelicans button. I don't care. Just so you know, because that's well, Zion come back looking like Zion. I'm gonna push the Pelicans button.
I was a bigger Pelicans supporter than you on this show.
Okay, and what did I say? I said I have to see them stay healthy first. And lo and behold, what happened? I said the only reason I'm not buying in all in on the Pelicans to the conference finals is they have to stay healthy. And 2 weeks later, what happened? Ingram's toe fell off. Zion's hamstring blew up.
You jinxed it.
I didn't jinx it. You jinxed it. You said you were all that. I'm not dying.
Right, you jinxed it. You said, I got to see them be healthy. And I was like, you know what? They're going to do it. And you jinxed it.
Man. Real quick, before we get out of here, Jordan.
Yes.
Any second half of the season bets or numbers, futures you put in, for our listeners out there?
I mean, as far as the numbers are right now, I mean, if you didn't get in on the Suns plus 16 plus 1400, you missed out big time. I think your only bet that I would be willing to take right now as far as the futures point is the Clippers plus 1200, 12-1. And that's always on paper because we do not know how things are going to play out with the Clippers, at least health wise. They also don't have a point guard. Russell Westbrook rumored going to be choosing between the Wizards and Bulls in the next couple of days, which I don't necessarily think, teeters any team. But as far as the Clippers are concerned, plus 1,200, I think is the best value you can get any team.
Where are the Warriors right now?
They are 19-1, plus 1,900.
Oh, wow. That
That's not good value, though.
Play money, but it's like, bro, right. they could, bro.
Yeah,
make sure you follow Paul Tweets Too Much on Twitter. The two is spelled with the two, the number two, right, Paul?
Yep.
Yeah, make sure you get Paul a follow. Hilarious guy, Eagles fan, but, he had odds for 6 months out of the year. It is what it is. Follow RIP Kings, bro. Follow Jordan Rules TSP or I'm sorry. Yeah, what is it? Tap Room Sports.
You're right.
Jordan Rules TSP. Myself, JJ Maple 55 _ MST. Be on the lookout, man. We made playoffs with a 9th seed. That link is dropping.
I was going to say, good luck to Contra Costa, but hopefully you guys do not beat West Valley, my alma mater.
Okay, well, if we play them, kick rocks. But the stream, saying the game will be streamed. It's a home game. I will drop the link. It is going to be live streamed with an announcer, so look out for that. Paul, thank you so much, bro. This was a long time, dude. It was a heat, too. It's one of the best episodes we've done this season.
Hell thanks, yeah. Man. I loved it.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, you guys be safe, and we are out of here.
Peace. Word.